الله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فهو المهتد، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We praise Allah, the mighty, the powerful, the creators of heavens and earth, the provider, the sustainer, the great, the flawless, the perfect, the one who owns all the attributes of greatness and attributes of beauty, and no one else owns these attributes except Him. We declare and we submit that He is the only one who owns these attributes, and no one else owns these attributes except Him. No one can claim these attributes of greatness except Him, and no one will be able to or has these attributes except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon him, his companions, his household, and those who follow him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let me start first by giving you the wonderful great news of the very high ranking, very honorable guest that we talked about in the previous khutbah. The guest is knocking on our door. The guest is arriving today at sunset. At sunset, the guest will be in Augusta. And we should, as we talked last time, open our hearts and be ready to host this guest, comply with his restrictions and requirements, learn from his lessons. This guest is a big learning institution, teaches us many qualities, teaches us to be submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Train this spiritual muscle in us that will allow us to turn our back to the temptations and reject invitations and pressures coming from these temptations and follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very tempting to eat and drink during the daytime of Ramadan. Very tempting. You're very hungry and very thirsty. Yet, Allah says fast. Fast from halal. You turn your back to the very tempting thing, which is eating and drinking, and you follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Very good spiritual exercise that we learn. And the second thing that we benefit from fasting is that how to enforce the guidance of Allah on ourselves by our own selves. There is no law enforcement agency watching us with secret cameras to see if we are fasting or not. If we sneak to the refrigerator, eat or drink, and go out and say, I am fasting, no one will be able to know otherwise except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reason we are not doing it is because we know that if we can escape all eyes, we cannot escape the watchful eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third lesson we learned during this month, we snack. How many times do we snack in this country? We snack about 5 times in addition to the 3 meals in this rich, comfortable, fulfilling life that we're having. We never feel hungry, right? But when we feel hungry during the month of Ramadan, we will remember our dear brothers and sisters who are fasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 30 days a month, 365 days a year. Why? Because they don't have anything to eat. We will remember them. And we will pull money out of our pockets and assets and bank accounts and send it to those people. Pay the zakah. The best time to pay the zakah is during the month of Ramadan because it is multiplied by 70 times. So that's the best deal. The Jannah is on sale. This dear, very honorable, very high-ranking guest called Ramadan is going to bring him a wonderful deal from Allah. The Jannah is on sale. The doors of Jannah are open and the doors of hellfire are closed. The doors of Jannah are open, meaning that there is a lot of coupons that you get. You get a lot of magnification of your reward. It's much easier to get to Jannah in Ramadan and the doors of hellfire are closed, means it's much harder to get to hellfire during Ramadan. And also, today at sunset, the Satan, the Shaitan, is going to be arrested and put behind the bars for 30 days. 30 complete days we have arrested from this Shaitan, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. However, we still have other enemies that are inside us that are free. We have the temptations. The temptations are not going to be arrested. The desires, the pressures of life, not to mention on the top of that, that we have the Satans of mankind that Allah mentioned in the Quran, شَيَاطِينُ الْإِنْسِ وَالْجِنِّ يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ زُخْرِفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا. Satans of mankind and jinnkind, they are inspiring each other with speeches that achieve deception and falsehood. Speeches of falsehood and deception, and ideas of falsehood and deception. They are exchanging the ideas of falsehood and deception, how to deceive people and achieve the wicked and the wicked sick targets and goals. Those Satans of mankind are still alive, and they are free, and they are not going to be arrested. So, and we will have a good chance that the evil, the power of the evil is decreasing by 25% when the Satan is chained. But we still have to deal with the other 75%, as we have to deal with all other sources of evil until we die and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be ready for this very honorable, good, wonderful guest. Open your heart. Learn from the lesson that this guest is going to bring, or is going to teach you. Benefit from the guest, from the gifts that this guest is going to bring with him. And inshallah, the rewards that this guest is going to bring are magnificent. And remember that fasting is not a human deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that fasting is a divine deed. كُلُّ عَمَلِ ابْنِ آدَمَ لَهُ إِلَّا الصَّوْمُ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْدِي بِهِ. That all the deeds that you do are considered to be human deeds, except fasting is considered to be a divine deed. It is for me, and I am the one who give a reward for this fasting. And in order really to know who is the one who is going to give a reward for the fasting, let's get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a little bit. Let's get to know Him. First of all, let's ask ourselves a question. Do we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He should be known? Do we appreciate Him the way He should be appreciated? Do we love Him the way He should be loved? Do we? And do we know Him really, or do we just hear about Him every time we come for the Friday khutbah? We hear about Him every once in a while. Is He present in our hearts, or is He absent? How much influence does He have in our heart and in our life? Today we will explore together a little bit about who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Himself to us by 99 attributes, or 99 descriptions, or 99 names that He mentioned in the Holy Quran. Indeed, Allah has many more names than that. Allah has infinite number of names. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is a sound hadith, that he used to make dua and say, أَسْأَلُكَ بِكُلِّ إِسْمٍ هُوَ لَكْ سَمَّيْتَ بِهِ نَفْسَكَ أَوْ عَلَّمْتَهُ أَحَدًا مِّنْ خَلْقِكَ أَوْ اسْتَأْثَرْتَ بِهِ فِي عِلْمِ الْغَيْبِ عِنْدَكَ. That I ask you, my Lord, with every name that you have, whether this name has been taught to your slaves, the slaves that you have created, or this name was given specially to a certain one of your creation, or this name is retained with you and no one else knows about it except you. I ask you with all these names to give me this or to give me that. So the names of Allah, don't you ever think that they are only 99. They are much more than that. Some of these names cannot be mentioned alone. They have to be preceded by other names. For example, the name Abbar.
You can't say Abbar, which is the most harmful. That's one of the names of Allah. You can't say it by itself. It has to be preceded by the other partner, which is Nafi'. So you have to say Al-Nafi' Abbar. You have to say the most beneficial, the most harmful. But you cannot say the most harmful by itself. And you can say Al-Mudhil by itself as well. You have to say Al-Mu'idh, Al-Mudhil. The one you can't say, Al-Mudhil is the one who lowers people down and humiliates them to the highest extreme. Al-Mu'idh is the one who raises the rank of the people and of the creation up high with power, money and fame and everything, all means of power until they reach to the heavens, until we reach very high in the levels of honor or in the levels of power. Al-Mu'izz, Al-Mudhil. We cannot use the second name without the first name. And so is also Al-Mani', Al-Mu'ti, Al-Mani', the one who provides and the one who stops the provisions. We cannot say they use the other name, which is the one who stops the provision by itself. It has to be mentioned with the first name, which is the provider first, and then preceded by, it has to precede that other name, because indeed the first one is superior to the second one. The sustenance provider is superior to the one who stops, who boycotts, who cuts the provisions from his creation. Allah is able to provide, Allah is able to cut the provisions. And Allah does both. He gives and He stops. But He gives much more than He stops. So you can't use one name in the absence of the other. Now, let me ask you a question. How could Allah have 99 different attributes? And these attributes, sometimes, in our limited understanding, we think, because of our misunderstanding, that they are conflicting. No, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfect, compatible, harmonious attributes that perfectly flawless fitting together. Let me give you an example. If I tell you about someone who have the same attitude and the same attributes in the battlefield, like when he is with his children. When he's playing with his little daughter, he had the same attribute like he's fighting with his own aims. You would probably be very surprised and say, how can he have the same attributes? Indeed, a wise person or a sane person will have different attributes in the battlefield as a soldier, where he's showing courage, power and might and roughness and toughness and patience and perseverance, versus when he's dealing with playing with his little daughter, where he's very merciful, he's very kind, he's very sweet, he's very playful. Two different attributes for the same person, and indeed it makes perfect sense. And of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also deals with different situations and different times and different people with different attributes. Some people in the Day of Judgment will only experience Allah the angry, Allah the most severe in punishment, Allah the most humiliating. They will only see this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because they are criminals. They came to Allah with horrible records. Big F's that they have in their reports. They have failed all the orders of Allah. Failed everything. When they meet Allah, they are not going to see Allah the merciful. They are not going to see Allah the generous or Allah the kind. They will see a different Allah, which is Allah the angry, Allah the most severe in punishment, Allah the most severe in revenge. And those are all legal, recognized names of Allah, proven in the Ahadith and in the Holy Quran. The most severe in revenge, the most shadidul muntaqim, shadidul iqab, the most severe in punishment. And all these attributes are also part of the attributes of Allah. But as Allah said, بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. He said in the Quran that with believers He is Ra'uf Rahim. He is nice, sweet and kind and generous. With who? With بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Different attributes that apply at different times. Generally, the attributes of Allah can be divided into two categories. One, Sifat al-Jamal. Two, Sifat al-Jalal. The attributes of beauty absolute, perfect, flawless beauty without any weakness, without anything that might make beauty bad. Sometimes beauty is seduction. Sometimes beauty and mercy is weakness. And sometimes mercy is wrong. The beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is flawless beauty, which is far away from all these imperfections that might hit these attributes of beauty. On the other hand, the attributes of greatness are the attributes of Allah as the only one, the only one in this universe who can claim this attribute, the only one in this universe that we have to submit to Him, admit to Him, confess to Him with these attributes. We have to believe them by our heart and make decisions by our brain based on these attributes and act in our life based on these attributes. When we recognize these attributes of Allah, then we act accordingly. When we know that Allah is the most powerful, then we will have no fear of anybody except Him. If we fear somebody to the level that makes us disobey Allah, then that's an evil fear, and then we are denying Allah. Denial, by the way, means kufr. Kufr means denial. And of course, kufr is degrees. Kufr is not the same level. So you can have a little bit of kufr or a high level of kufr, and not all kufr makes the person goes to hellfire forever, remains eternally in hellfire. But there are degrees of kufr, and not to think the blessings that Allah has given is called kufr ni'mah, is kufr of the favors of Allah, cover or denial of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the kufr of Abu Lahab is not like the kufr of Abu Talib. The kufr of Abu Lahab, both of them are the uncles of the Prophet. One possesses the highest level of kufr, one of the highest levels of kufr, and the other one is the lowest level of kufr. But both have the common denominator of kufr that is enough to make them have an eternal life and hellfire. But kufr is different. When we deny Allah is different levels. When we deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala some of His attributes by fearing someone other than Allah, then we are doing something haram. We are denying Allah some of His attributes. Our monotheism means submitting these attributes only to one, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we submit one of those attributes, which is the fear, the absolute fear to other than Allah, when we fear someone to the level that we are disobeying Allah, this is when we know it's haram fear. But some fears are not haram. If the fear does not make you disobey Allah, then it's okay fear, it's acceptable, there's nothing wrong with it. If you fear the snake or you run away from the lion, this is okay fear. Actually, this is a good fear because Allah ordered us to protect ourselves and don't destroy our own existence. So that's a good fear. But the bad fear, the fear that makes you liable, the fear that decreases your monotheism, the fear that makes you have some kind, a percentage or a portion of kufr, is the fear that makes you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or the fear that makes you don't do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to do just because we are afraid. This kind of fear is the haram fear. This, by submitting this kind of fear to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed this is a denial, portion of denial to the attributes of greatness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. We ran out of time, and the attributes of Allah are so many to speak about. But in relation to this attribute of fear, let's just remember, especially during this month of Ramadan, we all need a huge repentance. A big, big repentance. We have been doing horrible things, and we need to repent. One of the very horrible things that we have been doing is that we have been practicing the fear that makes us disobey Allah or make us abstain and stop ourselves from doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do. Our mom, our mother, our mother is the Muslim ummah, our mother is Islam, is being raped brutally by its own enemies, raping Islam left and right, raping the Muslim ummah left and right. The Muslim ummah is crying for help, crying for support, saying, "Oh my men, oh my lions, get up and defend me. Get up and do something to help me." And what we have been doing all these days? We've been turning our face to the other side and pretending that nothing is happening. Enjoying our life, and even though our mother has been crying, "Help me. I am being raped in the most brutal way, the most violent way a man can ever rape a woman. I'm being raped. Help me. Support me. Do something. Do something." And we are all guilty. We are all guilty with no exception. We are guilty of blocking our ears, turning our face to the other side, pretending that our mom is not crying for help, pretending that nothing is happening. We are not even speaking out. Even the word, we are not saying it. We are so afraid, and we are so worried. Number one, we are so afraid of the punishment of the one who rapes our mom. He's so mighty and so powerful, and we are afraid and scared of his punishment. Now, when we remember that, we should remember the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one is above than Allah. Just like when they asked one Muslim leader, and they threatened him with the air fighters, the bomb from very high elevations, he said, "Who is higher, Allah or the aeroplane?" They said, "Of course Allah." He said, "Then I will have no fear from the aeroplane." When we are afraid, then we remember the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are also afraid to lose our rich, comfortable, fulfilling life. We are afraid of losing this life. Then, this is why we keep our mouths shut and we are doing nothing. Because of these two fears, which are evil fears, we are not doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to do. Just imagine yourself standing naked in front of Allah in the Day of Judgment. And He's questioning you. Your mom was being raped, crying for your help. What have you done to her? Prepare an answer from now. Prepare an answer. Ramadan is coming. We need a big repentance. A big repentance from this horrible thing. If you are worried about our sustenance, our income, remember the other attribute of Allah, Ar-Razzaq. The sustenance provider. Al-Mu'ti Al-Mana'. The one who provides the sustenance and the one who stops the sustenance. Remember the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, "If all the people on the face of the earth gather all the powers and might and abilities all together in one unit, one very powerful unit, and they decided to punish you and harm you, they will never be able to achieve any harm to you unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits them to have this harm. And if they are on the other side, gather all their power and might and wealth and intelligence and blah blah, all together in one unit, trying to help you and support you and benefit you with something, they will not be able to unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the permission." When we remember these attributes of greatness of Allah, we will not be afraid, and we will not be scared, and we will not be stingy. Al-jubn wal-bukh. Stinginess and cowardice are two very horrible diseases that are hitting on the Muslim Ummah to the level that we are willing to block our ears when our mom, the one who's being brutally raped, crying for our help. "Oh my son, come help me. Oh my son, come support me. Oh my son, stand up for me. Oh my son, where are you? Oh my son, where are you? Where are you, my son? What are you doing? How can you leave me suffering like that? And don't stand up for me." أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. إني داع فقولوا آمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين. اعلي بفضلك يا رب كلمة الحق والدين. إذن لشريعتك أن تحكم الدنيا يا رب العالمين. اللهم رد المسلمين إلى دينك الحنيف ردا جميلا. اللهم مكن لعبادك الصالحين في الأرض يا رب العالمين. اللهم ادفع عن أمة الإسلام يا رب العالمين. اللهم ادفع عن إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل أرض مسلمة. اللهم إن الأعداء قد تجبروا عليهم وظلموهم، والأصدقاء قد تخلوا عنهم فخذلوهم وخذلوهم، فمن لهم سواك يدفع عنهم يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ادفع عن أحيائهم واشف مرضاهم وفك أسر سجنائهم وتقبل قتلاهم من الشهداء في جنات النعيم. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح.